No need to check your watch. Your timing is just right. You're listening to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel on EAA Radio.
Right. Welcome back. You are listening to Push to Talk. This is Magneto Mel on EAA Radio 93.3 FM and EAARadio.net around the world for those who can't make it in. And I'm sitting here today with Leah Yeager. And of course, everybody wants to know. Well, the first thing everybody wants to know is any relation. So
nope, no relation to Chuck. Just married the name about 10 years ago. So just happens to be one of those great names in aviation, but no relation.
But you did get into aviation, so
yes.
Coincidence. And you're with the NTSB, correct?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
And what is your position there?
I'm a senior air safety investigator, a regional investigator based out of our Arlington, Texas office.
And how did you start there, or how did you
get into
what's your career?
Board?
Yeah, I
started out flight instructing, like a lot of folks. Wanted to be a professional airline pilot and was moving on that track. And I got more excited about the forensic aspects of aviation and decided to go down to Embry-Riddle and get a graduate degree. And during my first semester there, they started a program, or a master's program, in safety. And that was at the time when the Part 91K was coming on board and the requirement to have a director of safety. And so there were different opportunities opening up for, safety-related careers. And so while I was there, I did a lot of accident investigation work. And just from networking and through the degree, I went to work for Cessna Aircraft Company and worked in their safety department.
Now,
and I was there for about 4 years.
Are there educational programs that one goes through is it more of an experiential type background, or what kind of people become investigators?
Oh, there's all different types in the regions. For the regional investigators, everybody is a pilot, a certified pilot to some degree,
with a probably a minimum number of hours.
Correct.
Yeah,
with different experience. Some are, you know, they have pilot certificates but engineering degrees. It just depends on how the job description is written for that point in time.
Are your AMPs, the mechanics that are on board, are they also pilots, or do you have investigators that come that route too?
Right, there's a lot of investigators. In fact, there's two in the office in Texas who are both airframe and power plant mechanics as well as pilots.
But they're all pilots?
Yes.
There is a baseline requirement there.
That's correct.
And then I know in California, where I am, there are a couple of air safety investigation certification type courses.
Sure. USC.
Okay, yeah, USC. Mm-hmm. And then there's another independent SCS. I forget what it is, but there's another program there as well.
Okay.
Are those accredited by you guys? I mean, if someone comes in and says, I have a certificate from this, is that...
I would think that when you're doing your job application, or when you're filling out that wonderful form... That would definitely be a benefit, because you have previous experience or accident investigation experience or training.
And then are there similar programs around the country, or?
I believe that different universities have different programs. I know Embry-Riddle, where I went to, I'm a little bit more familiar with, especially out in Prescott. I think Bill Waldock is still out there, but he has, you know, for his classes, they have actual, accident setup and scenarios that you would kind of do as a case study.
Right.
So there's different places you can go to get different degree of training.
Okay.
In accident investigation.
Well, a little bit about your personal background. Okay, so you worked at Cessna Aircraft Company as an investigator.
Correct.
And how what's that role for an aircraft company like Cessna, as opposed to, you know, for a government agency like the NTSB?
Sure. And that was one thing that when I first started getting into it, I wasn't aware that the manufacturers have safety departments that actually provide technical assistance to the NTSB and also the FAA when there's an accident investigation.
I wasn't either until I met you.
Yeah.
So
when I found that out, and when I went to work for Cessna, what Cessna does, well, if I step back a little bit, with the NTSB, we can invite parties to the investigation to help assist us, because there's only so many of us and there's so many different products out there, and we can't know everything all the time about everything. So when we bring in the parties to the investigation, we're bringing in people who can support from a technical standpoint. So when I worked for Cessna, that's what we were doing, because we're very knowledgeable about the product, because that's our company, that's our product.
Makes sense.
And we're more familiar with it in the manufacturing process and the genesis of it, from concept to delivery, that we can provide that input and assist the safety board. Plus, it gave us an opportunity, when you work for the manufacturers, you may see trends in something that may not necessarily be seen, may not be aware to the government yet. So It was really a good relationship.
Or even by, you know, say you have the AMPs, and they're obviously very familiar with the airframe and power plant, but not the intricacies of what's in the Cessna models.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we're aware of the manufacturing process, and all aircraft are somewhat similar, but just with some of the intricacies, how they were set up or how they were designed or engineered, then you have to kind of dig a little bit more on that.
And then how is that translated into your job now that you are with the government agency? So
it was an interesting transition because
what kind of learning curve went the other direction?
Well, it was interesting because when you are an NTSB IIC, basically we're the program manager, we go out there, and for a regional investigator, we're kind of a one-man go team of sorts. You know,
right.
We do public affairs, structure, systems, look at engines. We're kind of looking at everything as a whole. So, and plus you're managing it, you're working with the media, you're working with witnesses, and you're kind of doing a lot of that type of work. And when you're with the manufacturer, you're focused on the airframe or the power plant.
And that's what they call it, right? The go team.
The
field investigators that are on call.
Right. We have the regional investigators, and then we have the major our major investigations division up in headquarters, and they work on the bigger accidents, TW-800, the Colgan accident, just some recent ones.
So you're probably a little bit more of a first responder with the NTSB than with the Cessna. So, you know, when the accident happens, you go out there more immediately as opposed to more fill-in information or...
Right. Because we have regions and then we have territory and states that we cover. So if there's an accident in that area, then we'll, you know, Cessna's based in Wichita and all their investigators are based in Wichita, Kansas. So if we have an accident in California, there's going to be some delay probably in them getting out there
right.
before we could say if it was in California.
Now, with the NTSB, you've been involved in some pretty well-known, I guess, infamous accidents. You want to talk about a couple of those that
sure.
people might, the Jessica Dubroff?
Correct.
And that was when you first started.
That's correct. That's actually the first accident I worked as a professional air safety investigator. That's when I started at Cessna Aircraft.
That's a heck of a start.
That was. I was there 2 days on the job, and the guy who was I was training with, we went up to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and took a look at that. And there was just quite a bit of attention that she got because...
And remind people who she was.
Sure. She was the six-year-old girl that was planning on traveling, flying the airplane with her flight instructor, and her father was also on board.
Was she that young?
She was young. Yeah,
wow.
I believe she was young. And she was flying from Half Moon Bay, California, to the East Coast.
Right.
And she was going to be flying this on her own, and they just departed out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and there was a cold front that just moved through, and sadly, all three lost their lives.
Yeah, that's and how was that being your first? Because obviously there was probably a lot of press involved. And
oh, a tremendous amount of press. Yes, there was when we showed up, there was quite a bit of media trucks, and I think for most general aviation aircraft accidents, you don't get that much or see that much press. It's not as high profile as maybe some of the bigger accidents.
Right, and for you said that was your first job basically with the NTSB.
Cessna Aircraft Company.
Okay,
yes.
So that was really some of your first as an investigator at all.
Right.
And then you continued?
Yeah,
after
I just
that?
Continued on. I was with Cessna for I'd say about 3 years and 8 months, and then I went to the NTSB in 1999.
And
yes.
So, you know, we talk a lot of people. And it's kind of like helicopters are sort of the stepchildren of aviation, but you know you hear a lot about the airplane accidents, but you've been involved with the big helicopter accident as well.
Right.
How does that investigation work? I mean, if you got people that are pilots, do they necessarily have rotorcraft ratings? And if you don't, how do you
within the NTSB?
Yeah.
Yes. It's not a requirement to have a rotorcraft helicopter rating, but it's definitely a plus when it comes to working on the helicopter accidents.
And this was the EMS helicopters?
Yeah, that was an accident that was a few years back in Flagstaff, Arizona, when two EMS helicopters were approaching the Flagstaff Medical Center helipad at the same time and unfortunately collided.
Were they with patients? Or?
Yes, both of them were bringing patients into the hospital.
That is an unfortunate set of circumstances. And how is that working on a helicopter accident? What are some of the differences that you might note in the investigation process of
Well, the navigation and a lot of the rules are the same for fixed wing and for helicopter, but they're two different operations of sorts. And when they collide, they can shatter a lot. There's a lot of moving parts that are involved, maybe then, I guess, in some of the, you know, more simpler, I guess, fixed wing aircraft. But I wouldn't say there's too
much of a... Yeah, I would definitely say simpler.
Yeah, there's a... I guess working them for a while now, I don't have too much of a differential between the two. But definitely in Texas, we have a lot of helicopter activity, especially with the Gulf of Mexico. And I think a lot of people would be surprised that there's over 10,000 operations a day out in the Gulf just with the helicopters. So they're definitely present out there doing a... Great job.
Even in determining what led to the accident, like you say, they've got different aerodynamic behaviors and sure. everything. So how does that influence the forensic process?
I would just say it's, you know, when you're looking at them collide, I didn't get too much involved in that on the EMS accident because I was working the operations side mm-hmm. versus the structures side. So... usually we have a couple of folks who do more of that at the agency that mm-hmm. will work on the structures if there's a midair or if there's some area that may be a little challenging. They have more of an expertise.
And how long do these investigations generally take? Is this
usually, I think for most accidents, I can say 6 to 9 months.
And there's a preliminary report.
Correct.
And then there's a final after there's been a more thorough investigation.
Right. Correct? The preliminary report's required to come out within 5 days from the time that we get notified of the accident. And then the factual report gets released. And then that report is reviewed in headquarters and a probable cause is determined. And when that happens, it becomes a final report. So it's 3 stages.
And what kind of information, cursory information, do we try to get out there in 5 days?
What we try to do is we get out the date, the time, the registration of the aircraft, the type of aircraft, who it's operated by, who it's registered to, the location, and the damage that was done to the aircraft, and if it was on a flight plan, or was it operating in visual conditions, was it in instrument conditions.
Okay, and then, you know, I see here that you just completed a 27-month investigation. So that's yes. pretty long. Do they typically take that long to come out with the factual? And what one was that?
This was the Empire Airlines Flight 8284. It's an ATR-42 that crashed on approach into Lubbock-Preston Smith International Airport. And I think sometimes these investigations, when this one occurred, it happened right at a time when the board had 4 121 hull losses. We had Continental Airlines in December of 2008. Then we had the Miracle in the Hudson accident. And then this one occurred, and then just I think maybe 2 weeks after the Colgan accident occurred.
Oh, yeah.
So we were at a very, very busy time when a lot of resources were being used. So
and that played into the length
yeah,
of the...
Yeah, okay. It can take time.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what does make something other than the volume of other accidents that may be taking your attention?
Maybe the volume, and sometimes if you have a very technical accident, this is a French aircraft, so, you know, travel over there and coordinating schedules, testing. On this accident, we actually had a flap asymmetry. So it takes time to coordinate and put a plan together and then working with your counterpart to get over there and do the exam. So sometimes those things can just drag the process a little bit longer than normal. But that's usually what would delay it.
Okay. Well, we're about out of time now. So where can people find you on the field if they want to come talk some more about
this?
Sure.
Come on over to the Federal Pavilion. We have a beautiful booth set up this year. And there's several of us here. We'd be happy to talk to you, answer any questions. And we're also giving presentations of, I think, 3 a day. So
great.
Come on over.
That's in the Forum Foundation.
That's in the Forum. I've got one going at 2 o'clock today. So come on over.
Excellent. Well, Leah, this has been Leah Yeager with the NTSB. And we thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
You're listening to EAA Radio. This has been Magneto Mel with Push to Talk on 93.3 FM and around the world on EAARadio.net.